Thanks for tuning into Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along.
Hello and welcome back. I'm glad that you decided to tune in to Conversations About Meaningful Things. We're going to spend the next half hour talking to each other and also talking to you. My name is Brian. I'm one of the hosts here. And I'm going to send it over to my right to our next host.
Oh, you threw me. That's right. That's me. My name is right. Steve, and I'm glad to be here with all of you. And thanks for those who joined the conversation. And I we're going to the right, Brian, I guess.
Yeah, we probably should.
Right, well, my right is my friend Alex.
Hey, guys. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
I know. I just questioned whether or not I knew my right from my left when you... We do this every single record.
Like, yeah.
Wait, which way is my left and my right?
Well, I feel like every time I do, I send it across the table, a little peek behind the curtain. It's a very small, it's not even a table, it's a small desk that was from somewhere that we repurposed for.
Listen.
And it's not round, it's literally across.
Reduce, reuse, recycle, Brian.
Which, by the way, that's in order of importance. Did you know that? It's not just all one thing. It's that they want us to reduce the waste first, then focus on reusing things. Then if those fail, then recycle.
Dude, Captain Planet would be so proud of
you. Wow.
What if you can't do any of those? What's the refuse?
Sure. Yeah.
Then it's refuse, I guess. Oh.
It's the asterisk at the end of that phrase.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So you guys, are you ready to jump into the holiday season?
I am so ready.
So, a little bit.
So it's a question. So I used to be, before we had kids, I was the guy who thought it would be so cool to do all my Christmas shopping on Christmas Eve and just blast through it. I'm no longer that guy. But yeah, because that was kind of not the wisest thing to do ever.
You're gamifying procrastination.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
On purpose.
Yeah, that's what it was. Like, now the challenge has been laid. But do you get like, I'm done way, way ahead of time? Like, before I'm eating turkey, all my Christmas shopping's over?
So with the dawn of, I mean, Amazon's been a thing for a long time now.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But what Kirsten and I do, we do one Christmas shopping night as a date night. We get somebody to watch our kids. We go, and usually we don't get a lot. We just have fun together, and then the rest of it we just do online. And,
yeah.
I mean, truth be told, we don't. Maybe you might listen to this and you just think we're terrible parents. We don't get our kids a lot of gifts. I know that sounds super bad, but
you probably have extended family.
We
do.
We have. I have a lot of siblings, so does Kirsten, and they all end up getting our kids stuff. And I'm like, well, we're kind of off the hook. We don't have to get our kids a ton of things.
When are your kids' birthdays? Are they near holidays?
I think that's personal information that we don't want to
share. That is true. Not the exact time.
Unless you want to send us gifts for our kids. We do have one of our kids is close to the holidays. Yeah, so... Mm. It's not like, so Emmett, our communications intern here, and we love him to death. He's in the room helping us out today as well. He has is it Christmas Day birthday? Yeah.
Yes, Christmas Day.
Oh, look at that.
Christmas Day.
Jumped on a mic there. I feel like
Joe Rogan right now.
My mom's birthday is
too much information. We're going to have to bleep that out.
Yeah. Your mom's birthday is a Christmas birthday?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, okay. See, dang. So if your birthday is a Christmas birthday or a Christmas Eve birthday... shoot us an email. I don't know what we'll do. We'll give you a shout out or something.
There
maybe.
You go. Yeah. Merry Christmas and happy birthday.
So, in light of all of the Christmassy things happening, like you said, Steve, the picture of you running around on Christmas Eve, spinning your wheels, trying to get it all done before
the
morning.
And that was before all the online shopping stuff.
True.
So the landscape has changed tremendously in that regard. I mean, it's completely different.
Yeah.
But I think we still live in a culture that is at times still very hectic and doesn't help us in that regard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Spinning your wheels. Yeah. So I'll see if I can segue us.
I tried to.
You got it.
It wasn't a home run.
No, it was
pitch,
good. I thought that was great. It's a great picture. Picture of spinning our wheels. We're going to talk about something today that has been on all of our minds, but something kind of to piggyback off of that picture of running around, hectic, spinning your wheels. We're going to talk about burnout today. Mm-hmm. And
generally doing burnouts?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, you did just say spinning your wheels.
That's true.
That is burning.
We're going to continue with the analogy here of spinning your wheels.
I didn't think about how that all fit together.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, burnout. Particularly, I mean, when we think about burnout, that has to do with, for me, you think of work, right, with burnout. Yeah. Especially if you work in ministry, I guess work and ministry go hand in hand. But if you don't and you volunteer your time in ministry, burnout is going to come up at some point, usually. So maybe you think of burnout in that respect or any sort of real volunteer role you might have. There's the possibility for burnout. But burnout can appear anywhere that you're putting effort in. So it's something that happens. So we wanted to talk about what it is. How can we identify it? How can we maybe avoid it and or deal with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it's something that if you haven't experienced it yet, you probably have, actually, but you just didn't know it.
You didn't know it, or it was not so significant that it was life-altering, but it was still having an effect. I know one of the things that I'm involved with in our community is emergency services, and this is one of the areas when I talk about critical incident and mental health for first responders that we talk about. How do I identify burnout? What does it look like? What actually is it? And from that clinical side of it, it's when we have some sort of alarm or something that's requiring us to have a response. Yeah. So in the emergency service, it's literally when the alarm goes off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we have a reaction or a response to that. And our reaction or response is to mitigate or deal with whatever the call is. And so, there's a car accident. All right, I need to go and we need to make sure people are safe. We need to make sure that, the cars are taken care of and all that kind of stuff. So it's our ability to respond to what the stressor is, and the stressor being that call, right? And burnout, from that standpoint, is when we no longer have the ability to respond to the stressor. We lack the resource, and that's when you hear people say things like, I'm not going, or I just can't deal with this anymore. Mm-hmm. Why does this keep happening? They just kind of, and there's lots of reactions when we see burnout happening, but at its base, it's the inability to respond and deal with that stressor, and there becomes a diminishing return on that. And so we think about that in other situations, whether it's the workplace, whether it's in ministry, it's the person who gets up and says, I just can't go to work today. I just can't deal with one more phone call. Those are going to be some pretty significant red flags that you may have some symptoms of burnout happening. And it's that inability to respond to that stressor that's come, or that call for action or response that comes in. And so that can happen in any and every situation, even as we've all been parents. We all are parents, not been. We are. But even from a parental standpoint, I can't change one more diaper right now. So, so that's one of the ways that I think we can think about identifying, is some of this happening in my life? Because it happens in very subtle ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate your take on that, Steve. I mean, you've been able to see firsthand, I think, people living through that. Mm. So maybe let's just back up. So you sort of clinically described, okay, this is what burnout is. And there's, I'm sure, nuances to that. But
oh yeah,
what do you think are like? How does somebody get to that place? Like, just take for example, like, you know, burnout in the workplace, or I mean, we're all in ministry, and I know we've talked about, as much as we hate to bring it up or would like to forget the pandemic. I think me personally, I saw a lot of people who, you know, felt called to ministry for years and years and years that completely walked away from ministry during that period of time.
Yep.
That a lot of them said, you know, I'm just burnt out. I don't have anything left. And that was pretty tragic. So how does somebody go from, hey, this job is fulfilling, this, you know, this thing feels like a calling for me, to I'm just burnt out and completely walking away? And I would, before we talk about this, I would say, you know, the walking away, the falling off of that cliff and completely leaving something that used to maybe be a calling or fulfilling for you, like that's sort of the final stage of burnout in my mind. It's you completely break away and you're just, you know, done with that.
Yeah, it's kind of like the worst case scenario, the final straw kind of thing, which we, you know, part of what we want to talk about today is how do you not get to that point, right? We don't want to see anybody be at that point. And so that's part of our discussion today.
Yeah.
I think,
so how do people get,
in our lives, in this culture specifically, but also in others, actually, I know, I read some articles about this a couple weeks ago that in Japan, it's also pretty similar. But in America, it's this very much work, work, work. I'll sleep when I'm dead type of thing, which if you don't sleep, you will be dead much sooner. And you will be will be getting that rest. But yeah, it's this this idea of like we tend to say everything is a need, everything is needed, rather than, hey, like, sure, this would be nice, but what's actually needed for this? We always can do more, but do we need to be doing more? The way that I've always looked at it is we all have a drive and a demand on us. Usually it's when we're younger, but we have this drive for a dream we have. If you're going into ministry, if you're going into something, that drive is huge. And whatever demand comes up usually can take care of it. But as soon as that demand starts to overtake the drive that you have, it's when you go, ooh, I don't know if this is this is worth it anymore, because it's starting to take away from the rest of me.
I agree. So what you just said, Brian, just made me think of there's a book that he's a pastor, his name is Cary Newhoff, and he wrote a book called Didn't See It Coming, and I highly recommend it. It's written from a ministry perspective, but if you're listening today and you're like, I'm not in ministry, it still applies. And the book is titled Didn't See It Coming because he literally went from very successful lead pastor at a church they planted, and things were going really well. And he was go, 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 like, I got to be everything for everyone. Like, I'm the guy. I got to, you know, I got to make this thing run. And he literally just woke up one day and couldn't get out of bed and was spiraled into a massive depression. And through it all, you know, so, and it came to be, it was like he was completely burnt out, and he had been running just ahead of it for years and years, and it finally caught up to him. And this whole book is about how, like, basically God kind of set him on his rear end and just said, like, you are trying to do all of this in your power. And one of the quotes that he had from this book, too, that really stuck out to me, that sort of is about what you just said, was, first one was, the greatest enemy of your future success is always your current success. Like thinking, I'm really good at this. I'm going to just do more, do more, do more, do more. And what that kind of leads us into is there is a problem in our culture with our identity as it is tied to our success, I think. And, you know, one of the ways you could define it is workaholism. And one of the things he says is, workaholism is the most rewarded addiction in America today. You may get fired for drinking too much, but working too much usually gets you promoted. It will also get you a raise. And it's like this idea of we can sometimes become so consumed by our success and things are going good and, oh, you need me to do that? Okay, I'll do that. And having no boundaries in our life, or maybe losing focus on our mission, and we start taking on so much where we're not resting, we're not refueling our soul the way that God's designed us to, and you can only do that for so long before that begins to catch up with you.
Yeah,
I think
it's that short term wins over long term goals. Yeah. I just finished a book with our youth intern. We went through The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer, and he talks about Sabbath and rest and how that's ingrained in how God created the universe, and that it's literally ingrained. It is in the grain of the universe, and so if you're going against that, you're gonna get splinters. And he even says like, either you take a Sabbath or you'll be forced to take a Sabbath at some point.
Yeah.
Like that's what happens.
And we live in a culture that has become very in the now and very temporary. So it's I need it now. I want it now. I need to, you know, you need to perform, deliver, whatever now. We don't necessarily have a lot of nurturing of think bigger picture, think longer term. How is this over the long haul? Yeah. And that has fed into this idea of, you know, workaholism and just more. And, you know, and when somebody burns out, then, you know, a lot of times corporate America just replaces them with the next one.
Right.
And repeat over and over again.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think you were mentioning from a biblical standpoint is the idea of Sabbath and rest. And that's not just a biblical concept.
Right.
It is something that research, scientific research has borne out, that there needs to be rhythms in people's lives and there needs to be margins. And there's, you know, we have a lot of times in this discussion, the word stress comes up, right? I'm under so much stress. And there's really two kinds of stress. There's distress, which is the negative side of stress, right? Something happens. But there's eustress, which is a positive stress, and it's the kind of things that will refuel us. I think, Brian, you mentioned the word refuel. One of you mentioned the word refuel. You know, we need those things in our lives because we need to be refilled at times. We can't always be emptying ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and I know even as a staff, we've talked about what are the things that refuel you. You know, for me, you know, playing basketball is one of those things. For most of us, spending time with significant people in our lives can be refueling. And so that's one of those things that we need to make sure we're not expensing those because all of these extra things come at a cost. And we have to make sure those things that are refueling and the margins in our lives, those things aren't the price that we're paying.
Right.
And if that becomes what the cost is, again, it's another red flag.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. My success, quote unquote, in this particular area is costing me my margin of time with my spouse, or that means I can't go work out or have my solitude time or whatever. Right. Just that's going to be too high of a cost. Let that be a red flag. If those things are starting to be what it costs you, that's a dangerous road to go down.
Yeah, absolutely. So in that same vein, Steve, maybe let's make this personal for us. Like how have you guys, because I think part of this, and you mentioned it, Steve, I think some of it's coming down to, okay, recognizing first and foremost, what is my, you know, call it your priorities, call it your, you know, your purpose that you know God's placed you on this earth for, protecting that. And so when other needs or things arise that are like asking for your attention or you to expense some of those things, like, how do you know, like in your guys' lives, how have you been able to identify, okay, what is priority and what needs to take a back seat and say, you know what, I'm going to expend, you know, time that I need to actually use on refueling myself or maintaining important relationships. Like how do you differentiate those and how do you protect that, like in your own lives?
I think for me over the years, it's a trying to be very disciplined about expectation in my life.
Like how you're communicating that to people or just yourself personally?
Well, I think it begins with yourself. It begins with your own personal expectations. What do I have of myself? And some people would use the word discipline. So if I have a personal expectation of myself that, you know, I'm going to be available for my family in these three ways, and I hold to that expectation, then it allows me to properly stack all these other expectations that every single one of us have coming at us. We have tons of, you know, some are spoken very clearly, some are unspoken, and you just know, oh, this person wants this, or this situation is asking this of me.
Right.
But I think the very beginning, I would encourage, you know, to sit down individually or maybe with your spouse. And what are going to be the expectations in our lives and personally? Because then, once I have a personal compass, then it helps me navigate the rest of all of those expectations. Right. So I think that's a start. And if you haven't done that, then you know, take the time, spend the time. It's a good expense.
Yeah, absolutely.
To determine what some of those personal expectations are of yourself, because then you can put in perspective all those other things that come at you.
That's really good advice. I really appreciate you shared that, because it's and maybe if you're listening, you know, wherever you fall on the spectrum, because this is an area I think I've struggled in over the years, and I've gotten a lot better at actually since becoming a dad. I've realized the limited amount of resource I have. Everybody's personality is a little different. Mine is, I have struggled since, honestly, I was a kid with just saying yes to everything. Like, you need help? I'll be there. You want this? I'll do this. And realizing, like, I find myself saying yes to a need and then begrudging that yes later and being like, why did I say I would go to that thing or do that thing? Which that, you said stress, that, over time, that really piles on stress and contributes to burnout, I think.
It does. So going back to the clinical side of things, we all have a baseline, right? We have a baseline of how much of a stressor or a demand we have. And I'll go back to the emergency services because it's pretty like cut and dried. You can like, oh, the fire alarm goes off. You go respond to the fire alarm, and then it's over. So the fire alarm goes off, and you have so much resource within you to respond to that emergency, right? And then hopefully that's enough to deal with it, and then that's fine. But what happens over time is repeated and cumulative effect of stress is it raises your baseline, which means now there's not much left resource until you peak out. And so if you're the cumulative effect of negative stress or distress is that your baseline raises so much that the amount of resource you have until you peak out, and then it's diminishing return, and then you're headed toward burnout. So it has to be something that we keep in mind when we're saying yes to things and things become stressful. You know, I know you've been working on a pretty significant project lately, and you know, I've tried to help out, but one of the things, I don't know if, you know, I've said, I have this available. So I think as a person, having those personal expectations, then it allows you to express what's available to others. It's different situations rather than others just making the demands on you.
Right.
And so I would encourage people to verbalize things that way, not, hey, I can help you, or I'll do whatever. I'll do whatever it takes, but this is available if that's helpful to you, because then you're kind of helping to manage the demands in your life rather than it just being you being pushed around by anything and everything.
It is that, it's that accumulation of stress, like you were saying. And when I was listening to that at first, I was like, of course, like each call is going to bring it up more. And I realized, no, it's not just the call from your job or whatever. It's also the, oops, you forgot to get more toothpaste and you weren't able to brush your teeth this morning. Oh, it's the little things that then stack up and stack up. And by the time you explode because you broke a shoelace, it wasn't about the shoelace. It was about everything else. And it's about handling those things and understanding what is important. When you said manage expectations, it also includes like establishing and maybe even labeling in your life what matters and what doesn't matter as much. Alex, when you were talking about being a dad and like, like it becomes very clear. It should. Any dads listening and moms, I hope that you agree with us when we say that's very important. And so very early on, actually our 9 month old, she was born with a health issue. She's doing better. She's still not good. But she's doing much better. And, but with that, we had to very quickly, my wife and I had to have that conversation of like, hey, we're cutting this out. We're cutting this out.
Yeah.
Because we need to make sure that we're available for her, because she is so important.
Yeah.
With that, I mean, one of my takeaways I want everybody to work on and practice is say no. Say no to things that you can say no to. Don't just say no to everything. Right. I don't want to, you don't want to also overcorrect. I know our culture is all about work, 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 but it is also about you, and you're the master of your own life, which is kind of true. But you don't want to get so far into the, well, I'm doing this for me, that then you never have, Steve, you said, like the good stress, the good challenge in your life. Cause then you never grow. But yes, it is okay to say, hey, like I can't do that right now. And anybody who actually cares about you will understand.
Absolutely.
They will say, hey, like, okay.
Yeah. And sometimes those are hard choices when it's your boss demanding something of you. And maybe it seems, you know, there may be folks listening who say, you know, I can't say no to my boss. My job's on the line.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's a question of, if this is demanding so much of me, am I in the right job? Maybe it's a broader question to ask.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about expectations and refueling things. Yeah. I think another concept I'd like people to keep in mind and consider is margins. Because margins gives you a little bit of flexibility within the flow of your life to say, okay, well, something came up. So there's a little added stress I wasn't anticipating, but I've got enough margin that I have the capacity for it. Like, you know, I don't know, your alternator stops working on your car or something like that's not, nobody chooses that, but it happens. And we can't say it's not stressful because we've all been there. It does, you know, those unexpected things, but is there enough margin to where it doesn't push you over the edge? It's not like what you were talking about, Brian, it's not the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. It's not the shoelace. That wasn't the issue. It was the 18 other things before the shoelace. So I think margin, which kind of goes back to our discussion about rest and the rhythms that we have in our lives, margin is one of those rhythms. And we have to build that into our lives. Otherwise, and I'm a person, years ago, I didn't have a lot of margins because I was like, I want to fill every minute. We're leaving in 10 minutes. Great. I can do this 15-minute thing then. And it wasn't good, but I've learned that over the years. It's not perfected in my life, but I can share that from experience.
Yeah. No, it's so good, Steve. Well, maybe in our final moments, fellas, can we just talk to that person who maybe is in the midst of burnout right now or feeling the effects of it? And maybe they are in that job or that space where they can't necessarily quit their job. So the external pressure maybe, is it going to change? But how can we encourage that person? What's a step that they can take? Maybe we've hit on some of those, but just maybe just some final encouragements for that person.
I mean, yeah, definitely. You don't have to do everything. So that's number one. It doesn't all right on you. It's so interesting because we think it does, and then we'll have a day that we're so sick because we've been going, and our bodies finally give out.
Yeah.
And we have to not go to work for one day, and we get back the next day, and guess what? Everything's still okay. People tend to fill in the gaps where it's needed. But honestly, I would say also hold your ground. That sounds very antagonistic, but really it's that say, I know what I need to do. I know what is healthy for me. I know what is unhealthy. It goes all the way back again to what Steve said of, managing expectations.
Yeah.
If you're able to take, some time and look at your workload and look at what is needed. I honestly, if it, any boss worth their merit, I think would really actually appreciate if you came back, if they ask you to do something, you say, well, actually, that won't work because I have this, this, and this, and I wouldn't be able to put, you know, my best effort into that. I think mm-hmm. they would actually like that. Mm-hmm. But you need to have had that time to evaluate and make sure, kind of say what is more important than others.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's if you feel like you're in that, man, I'm on the downslide of this cycle here, and I know I'm burning out. People are telling me I'm burning out. I feel like I don't want to do anything anymore.
Yeah.
I think, a couple of things would probably be very helpful. Number one, there needs to be a recalibration of some sort, right? Because you agree you can't keep doing what you've been doing the way you've been doing it. So something has to change. It needs to be recalibrated. And I think what I have noticed over the years is it's very difficult to recalibrate on your own. Mm-hmm. Because, and not to sound like judgmental or anything, but you got yourself into this mess, you probably aren't going to get yourself out. So the recalibration needs to be with a couple of handful of people that are in your life that know you well enough and you trust enough that you can just sit down and have some honest conversations with. Some of that recalibration may just be, some areas of discipline in your own life. It may be a resetting of what we've talked about, those expectations. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is a job change. Or at least a significant adjustment, because nobody, none of us here, and I don't think anyone listening, wants anyone to end up in that spot, but we know that people do. So, I think it begins with some honest conversations with probably one, two, maybe three at the most, but it's probably just a couple of people in your life that you can begin to kind of unravel the ball that you've gotten yourself into, and just realize if nothing changes, then nothing's going to change.
Yeah. Yeah. Let people help you.
Yeah.
Just having lots of conversations with different people of that, if someone is reaching out and saying, oh, do you need anything? Take them up on that.
Yep. I think I've heard it said that solitude is a tool that God uses to draw us closer to him, but isolation is a tool that the enemy uses to drive us further away from him. Isolation, separating ourselves from connection with others. Solitude, just that practice of just spending time with God. And so we hope that this conversation has encouraged you in that direction. And also that if you find yourself in this spot, please know that you're not alone, that there is help. And if we can help provide some of that for you and point you in some directions, we'd love to hear from you. We say this every week, but podcast@victorchurch.org. If you email us, we would love to point you in some directions, some resources. We'll post those two books that we talked about today as well in the show notes, so you can get those if you are interested. But we hope that as you go, that you find your purpose in Christ, that you're encouraged in our conversations, and that you go share the hope of Jesus with others around you. Have a great week, guys.
Amen.
See ya.
Take care.
See ya.